All right. So this morning, what I felt like the Holy Spirit was highlighting yesterday as I was preparing is that really the goal is to create a lens in which to view 2019. So obviously, we're coming to the end of another year. And for many of you in the room, this is not your first rodeo, right? You've had this experience before, right, of going through a year. And within a year, a lot of good things happen and a lot of hard things happen, typically, if it's like any other year. And you have a ability to look at it in the rear view, and you can sort of say, how am I going to view that year? And I feel like God wants to sort of talk about that a little bit today. And the funny part will be that it feels like the way that he's going to lead us into that is feels a little roundabout or sort of hodgepodgey in terms of go here, go here, go here. But I feel like there's a key, and I hope it all sort of comes together at the end. So the title would be Welcoming God's Overshadowing. Welcoming God's Overshadowing. And the premise that I'm going to make this morning is this. And you can agree with it or not, right? So, but this is the premise that this is sort of the foundation, what I feel like God is saying that this is a key truth. It's that when God overshadows us, we encounter an aspect of his goodness. That something gets released. Whenever he overshadows us, there is a release of his goodness that's manifest in our lives. And we're going to look at three scriptures that sort of highlight that. And then we'll talk some more about this year. So this is the setup. In Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then later down in verse 4, Psalm 91, verse 4, it talks about sort of the shadow of his wings, right? And there's this picture, or the shelter of his wings, right? So different translations have it saying differently. But it's a picture of sort of him covering us or hiding us or shielding us. And it's a sense of protection. The two points I want to make out of this scripture is just simply, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of his wings. Right? So it's an all-inclusive. So for any of you who are dwelling in the shelter of his wings, these things happen. Does that make sense? He is like a shadow over you. And all of the truths that if you read through all of Psalm 91, it's a powerful psalm. If you've never read it, I read it, right? Reflect on it. Read it again. Eat it. It's a lot of the promises of God's goodness and his faithfulness to us as we go through life. And one of the specific fruits of this overshadowing that is his goodness, right? It comes in, I saw three things. One, it's rest. There's a sense of being able to rest in his arms, rest in his shelter, to have refuge in him. The second is a sense of protection, right? When you feel protected by God, it's an evidence of his goodness towards you. And the last is a sense of safety, that you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. Because he has you. You're protected. You're shielded. He's with you, right? Those are some of the fruits that happen when he overshadows us as the Lord Almighty. Make sense? Let's look at another one. This scripture we've looked at a bunch in the past month or so, right? And many churches have as well because it deals with Mary. And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the specific verse says this, "The angel answered," right? So Mary is like, the angel comes and says that you're going to have a baby. And she's like, how is this possible, right, ultimately? And this is what the angel says. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And so what we see in this encounter is that there's a release of power. And the fruit of the overshadowing that is God's goodness ultimately is a living being. It's Jesus. It's the Messiah, salvation, healing, freedom, right? So everything that Jesus comes with, the birth or the baby that it happens, right, because of the overshadowing is evidence of his goodness. And it's not just for Mary. It's for every single person in this room. It's for every single person in the world. Not every single person in the world wants that to experience that or to taste of that, right? Some people will reject Jesus. That's okay. Ultimately, because they have a choice. God doesn't force himself on us. But the reality is, if you say yes to Jesus, you experience the fullness of his goodness. And it all goes back to this overshadowing that happened with Mary because she said yes to God. Does that make sense? Let's look at one more. This is a little different one. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, it's in the early church, and it says, "Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by." Now, is it just Peter's shadow? Or is it Christ in him, the hope of glory, right? What's causing this difference, right? Peter walked down many streets before and nobody was healed. Just by his shadow, right? You think, or maybe it was a new thing. He realized, if I just walk in the path of the sun in this way, something significant is going to happen. I doubt it. I think he just kept walking, and all of a sudden people start getting healed, right? That's pretty cool. And it's a result of a shadow, his shadow. There's some power that was presented in his shadow that was released. Obviously, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit in him. It's the work of the power of God flowing through him that's releasing this supernatural miracle in these people's lives. It's evidence of his goodness, right? So the fruit of his goodness is healing, setting captives free, right? So people are just being laid out, and it became this thing. And maybe it can happen today. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Right? Okay. So if we go back to Psalm 91, verses 14 to 15, it says this. It says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." So being in the shadow of the Almighty, where you just talked about, when you're in the shadow of the Almighty, you're experiencing his protection, sort of his hiding, his shielding of you. It obviously doesn't mean that we will never experience trouble. So even though you're in the shadow of the Almighty, you may encounter trouble. What's the good news in this, though? The good news is that it states that God is with us. He will be with you in every single trouble that you encounter. And so as you're going through life, there's really good things that happen. Yay, God, he's with you in that too. And there's really hard things that we encounter. And the promise is that he's with us, right? That's evidence of his goodness with us, right? It doesn't say that we will never have trouble, right? If there was a scripture that said you'll never have trouble, how many of you would feel like you're close to God? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has trouble, right? The trouble's all around us. But there's something about walking with Jesus, walking with the Father, walking with the Holy Spirit. As you navigate through life, the promise that he's right there with you. We're not always aware that he's there. That's probably the bigger key, is are we aware of his presence no matter what we go through? If we were more aware of it, it'd be interesting to see how we would respond maybe differently than we do when we're not aware. Okay, so what we've established so far is that when we're overshadowed by the presence of the living God, there's a release of goodness, and it has different forms or different aspects of God that gets released, and that we're also not immune to trouble or experiencing trouble. Okay? Let's go on. Psalm 23:6 says this, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So as we dwell in his presence, his goodness and love, or mercy in some translations, it follows us. Again, if we stay connected to him, the promise is that his love and his mercy, right, his goodness will follow you all of the days of your life. All the days. Always. Does that make sense? So no matter what season you're in, highs or lows, his love, his goodness are with you. His mercy, his goodness are with you. Does this include the days I'm encountering trouble or adverse circumstances? It does, right? It doesn't feel like it often, right? It doesn't feel like I'm encountering his goodness when the car breaks down, right? Or I'm encountering his mercy. Maybe you could say, well, his mercy saved me from getting killed, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you want to look at it. But the reality is that his goodness and mercy are with you even as you go through the most horrific things or the hardest things of life, okay? Now let's look at 2019. That's all just a setup. Where did you see the goodness of God evidenced in your life? And so I put some examples. So like new life or restoration, any abundance, protection, joy, peace, favor, power, provision, right? And we're just going to pause for like 30 seconds. Just think about it. Think, go back through the year. Think of last January, February, March, April, right? And just try to reflect on where did you see his goodness? Just take 30 seconds. Maybe make a mental list, right? Where did you see his goodness? All right, so, and I'd encourage you, if you haven't already done this, that sometime this week to actually make a written list of every place that you saw his goodness last year in 2019. And just so you can regurgitate it, you can go over it. Sometimes his goodness manifests in ways that we take for granted, right? So everybody in this room is wearing clothes. Everybody hopefully had breakfast this morning or have access to food. Right, those kinds of things. Hopefully everybody in this room has a shelter over your heads, right? I don't know everybody in the room, right? But those kinds of things. There's things that we just sort of, it's not, when I think of, oh, how did God show me goodness? I don't jump to those kinds of things, but it's part of the list. Does that make sense? Right? So I think there's ways where he wants to expand. Do we have eyes to see his goodness today? What are all the ways he poured out his goodness in my life? And there's 365 days a year, except for next year, right? Because leap year, right? So there's a lot of days where he can pour out goodness. Let's go on to where did you encounter trouble or adversity this year? Pain or suffering, loss or discouragement. And we're just going to pause, right? For some people in the room, this was a really hard year. We're just going to pause and just, again, make sort of a mental list of those things. And I encourage you when you're at home, write it down. Where are all the places where you've experienced trouble or adversity this year in 2019? Okay, for some of us, that's a really hard exercise because we don't want to look at our trouble or adversity. And do you know that God's not afraid of our trouble or adversity? Right? Based on those two categories, I tend to find is how people make an assessment of whether or not the past year was a good year or a bad year. Right? So the level of goodness that was released compared to the level of trouble or adversity that I faced, or the pain and hardship and things like that, often will determine whether or not this was a good year. And I felt like God highlighted four strategies. So when you take all that you just collected, right, he felt like he's highlighted four potential strategies. They probably will not be new to you. They may be. The first is, you know, you can make a list of each category, right? Like in a column, you could have a list of all of the evidence of his goodness. And in this column, you could have a list of all of the troubles and adversity and all the pain, suffering, that kind of stuff. And you would look at the one that has the most. So if there's more goodness versus hardship or adversity, right? Or if there's more hardship or adversity, you would say it's either a really good year or it was not a good year or it was sort of an okay year. Does that make sense? Another strategy is to sort of look at the weightiness of the goodness versus the trouble or hardship, right? So you may have only had a few items listed in your trouble or hardship, but they were really big or really weighty, really hard things. They sort of take the place, or they sort of overshadow the goodness, right? So you may have a longer list of things that are good, but these couple things that are in the trouble hardship sort of defined your year. Does that make sense? And so you could look at it from a standpoint of weightiness. It might be vice versa, right? So it might be the few things that happened in your life that were really, really good sort of overshadowed the places that were really hard. And so the key is that it doesn't necessarily determine by the number or the quantity of items in each column. It's the weightiness of each column. Does that make sense? The weightiness of the things in each column. And you could use that as a lens to define whether or not this was a good year or a bad year. A third strategy would be to invite Jesus into each item that you listed, both in the goodness category and in the trouble hardship category, and to sort of sit with him. Take some time with Jesus. What does he say about each item? Right? Often we think he doesn't have anything to say about the good items, right? Because it's already done. It's great. It's good stuff. But he might have something to say about the hard things. The reality is, I think he has something to say about everything. Everything that would be listed on your paper, he would have a response to what's written there, what's listed there. So on the things that would be sort of in the good category, let him celebrate with you in each goodness listed. And then in the trouble category, the hardship, invite him to share with you, where was he? Where was he as you went through that loss? Where was he as you went through that hardship? Where was he? The promise, right back to Psalm 91, is that he's with you in every trouble. So he's there somewhere, right? And so if you can identify where he was, there's actually a release of grace, a release of peace in the presence of knowing, that's where Jesus was as I walked through that thing, or as I experienced that. In Romans 8:21, or 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So if you look at each sort of trouble or adversity that you faced, where did his goodness manifest? Or where is it in the process of manifesting? Or where are you hopefully anticipating it manifesting? Because the promise is going to be good. He works all things together for good for those who love the Lord. Does that make sense? So if it's not good yet, the promise is it's going to be good. It may be the most horrific thing that you can imagine, right? But the promise is it's going to be good. And so either in the course of the year, you went through this trouble and it's already, he's manifested the goodness. You can see how it became a good thing, right? So maybe you were healed. You went through a physical thing and now you're healed, right? There's something. And people's lives were changed or transformed in that process. And the glory of God is manifesting, right? That's an example. Maybe you're in the process. Maybe you're right here where it's becoming good. You're seeing how the tide is changing a little bit. Or maybe it still feels really bad, right? And so you're like, I don't know how it's going to be good. I can't see how it's going to be good, but I have a promise from God that he works everything for good. And so this too, the final say will be, it will be good. It doesn't mean that what you went through is good, right? So I think we get that mixed up sometimes. Like God, he doesn't delight when we get hurt. He doesn't delight in suffering and loss and sickness, right? That's not from God. But his goodness will manifest through every single thing that happens. Every tragedy we encounter, his goodness will have the final say. And so Chris Vallotton says that if it's not good yet, right, he's not done, right? And so we can rest and we can know he's still working. And as soon as it's good, then he's done with that. Does that make sense? Often I think that we just want to move on to the next year. Especially if this was a bad year or felt like a hard year. We don't want anything to do with this year anymore. And there's something weird about January 1st. Like, it's a new year. The sun is shining again, right? Everything's possible, right? And we don't want to look at what's back here in 2019. And yet, the reality is that we need to walk through it. Any trouble or hardship or painful thing that you experienced in 2019, if you don't walk through it, it ends up having victory over you. And then each sort of similar loss that you encounter, so like you may have encountered things in 2019 which are similar to things that happened in 2017 or 16 or 14 or whatever, you know what I mean? And the picture he gave me was that each additional similar loss or hardship, it sort of exponentiates, right? I made up a word. It makes it even greater than just if you had two. It's multiplied even more. And the more of those things that happen, it gets even more if you never walk through it. What does that mean? So let me give you an example. So I have a good friend whose mother passed away over 20 years ago. And when her mother passed away, she wasn't able to deal with it. She couldn't walk through it. And so she tried to numb herself to escape any feeling of sadness or pain that she experienced with it. And so she drank a little bit. She took some pain medications. There was a trying to escape from it. She couldn't talk about her mom, even the good stuff that of her mom's life. It was just nobody could talk about her mom. It was a non-topic, right? Because if anybody mentioned the name of the mom, all of the pain came back to the surface. And she didn't want to look at that pain or deal with that pain. 2 years later or so, maybe 6 years later, her father passed away. She had never dealt with her mom's loss, right? The loss of the mom. So now she has a whole nother wake of loss, but it's exponentiated because now it's just a greater mass of loss. And she handled it very similarly where she tried to escape the pain. And then 3 or 4 years later, another person died. Right? And you see what I'm saying? Like, so it gets worse and worse and worse. She just had somebody else pass away, and she doesn't know how to deal with it. Life's on hold. And then everybody else around that person in this, their sphere of influence who's trying to have a healthy grieving process, which part of a healthy grieving process is to talk about the person, to celebrate the person's life and what was accomplished, what was their legacy, how do they impact the world around them? This person is not able to experience that. They're not free. And so the very mention of that another person, one of those people that passed away, the whole wake, and now it's not just the pain of that one loss, it's all of the wake of loss. It's like an atomic bomb of loss and pain. Does that make sense? Where if they just had walked through the loss of mom in a healthy way, right? That's not easy to do for those of you who have lost parents, right? It's not an easy thing to walk through. But Jesus is with you and he will guide you. And what does it look like to grieve in a healthy way? And you walk through it. And as you have victory and you have freedom over it. If you don't walk through it, it has victory over you. It keeps you in a place of suppression. You'll never be able to be fully alive unless you go through the pain and the suffering. Does that make sense? It's sort of like compound interest for those of you guys who are in business, right? Right? So compound interest is a really good thing, but not in this category. Right? You don't want compound interest, right, in this. That's how it works. So if you can relate, so you're here this morning and you're hearing about my friend's testimony or her experience, and you can relate or you can identify with it, the key is don't be devastated if you find yourself in that situation, right? The reality is that you can rejoice this morning because the Holy Spirit's highlighting it. He wouldn't be highlighting it if he wasn't there, ready, present, and available to do something about it. Does that make sense? His goodness and his faithfulness is always on. It's not too late to go back to the tragedy that happened in 2019 that reminded you or brought you all the way back to 2007 when this other tragedy happened. You can actually go with the Holy Spirit back to 2007 and you can walk through it still today and lead you back to 2019 and walk through the thing that you just experienced, right? So there's hope. We started this morning talking about hope. There's fresh hope. So any tragedy or adversity that if you look back at your past that you haven't dealt with in a healthy way, today's a good day to start that process with Jesus. Because you'll never have freedom on the other side unless you take care of the business in the back over here. Does that make sense? Yeah. Take Jesus' hand and walk through each devastation of the past. It's not too late. All right, fourth strategy. This is something God highlighted on Highway 80 yesterday as we were coming home for Christmas. So it's just a question. And so I'm going to throw it out there and see you guys can play with it. I love our relationship with Jesus. So often we feel like it has to be so reverent or something, right? And I think he just wants to be playful with us. He likes to throw out things and say, what do you think about this? Is this possible? And he likes when we sort of pick it up. It's like if I give my kids a toy for Christmas and they're like, ooh, I don't know if I can touch that. I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? Like, it's for you to play with, to enjoy, to try to find out what are the limits of this thing, right? That's the fun thing. My youngest son, he got a monster truck for his birthday just last month from some friends in the house. And he has pushed that monster truck to its limits. And he knows everything that monster truck can do and what it cannot do. And he's willing to keep trying. Does that make sense? So he's looking for new types of terrain. I think that's how it is with Jesus, is that he gives us gifts and he's like, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to go take it out and play? Are you going to test it to its limits to see what can happen with it? I think that's what he wants for us, right? It's that childlike joy. And so this is one of those where I've never really looked at this before, but I'm going to throw it out as a fourth strategy. So you go back to your list. You have your goodness list, and you have your list of sort of troubles and adversity for 2019. Which list, the goodness or the adversity, overshadows the other list? And then the question that he posed to me, is it possible for the goodness of God list to overshadow the trouble or adversity that you faced, even if the trouble or adversity list is longer or weightier? Can we magnify the goodness of God list to the point that it overshadows the trouble and adversity list? Not denying the trouble and adversity list, so it's not just trying to escape it and say, oh, that never happened, right? That's not reality, right? So you don't deny the adversity list like it isn't there or never happened, but overshadowing it, taking away its power or influence over us and our perspective of the year. Let's look at how is something magnified, right? You got a magnifying glass, you hold it, you see it, it gets bigger. Right? How do we magnify something in our lives? We dwell on it. We feast on it. We share it with other people. We could celebrate it. We could rejoice in it and again rejoice in it, right? You know, that kind of thing. And I believe that we do this with both the good things in our lives and the hard things in our lives, right? So often we don't think about celebrating the hard things in our lives. But if you've ever been around people who just really want to tell you again about that really hard thing that happened, right? They're sort of celebrating it. There's a sense of highlighting it to a greater degree. And there's something that, a lie from the enemy that says you're going to get something out of that. And yet the reality is that it's only becoming more and more magnified because you're dwelling, feasting, and sharing it with other people. Does that mean never to share your troubles? No, right? The hymn says this. You guys remember the hymn? It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As you gaze on Jesus, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. As soon as you gaze on the things of the earth, guess who goes strangely dim? Jesus. Right, so where do you magnify? What are you going to magnify? And so he was posing this question, if I focus on, maybe I only have three things in my goodness list, right? Maybe it was a really hard year. I have like 50, 60,000 things in my trouble list. And I got these three things in my goodness list. If I choose to focus on those good things, feast on them, dwell on them, celebrate it, let Jesus celebrate with me in it, and I keep my focus there, not denying that I have this long list of hardships, would it overshadow the hardships when I think about 2019 and actually take away the power of those hardships from defining that this was a really bad year? That's a question. I've never done it before. Has anybody done that? Right? So I think it's something from Jesus. Does it mean that you don't have to walk through the adversity that we just talked about? No. Right? Like, it's not a get out of jail card free, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, I think you have to walk. You still got to go back and look at what were the hard things and allow Jesus to walk with you through it. But I think our perspective or the lens that we look at a year would be radically different if we started stewarding or manifesting the magnifying the things that are good in our lives. I believe they would overshadow all of the things that are hard in our lives. Again, not denying that the hard things are there or that you had to deal with those things and walk through them, but that his goodness would trump, it would triumph over it, right? Again, it's a question. I think it would be easier if we lived in a continual place of magnifying Jesus' goodness in our lives, right? Would it be easier for us to see and experience his goodness even through the greatest troubles and adversity that we face? Like if it was our regular practice of magnifying his goodness when we faced our next adversity or trouble, would we face it or would we enter into it in a different place? Would we be able to see his goodness, right? His goodness will always have the final say, and he's with us through every adversity and trouble. Would we be able to see him more readily? Would we be able to experience his goodness even in the hardest trials and tribulations that we're facing more easily if we were stewarding and magnifying his goodness on a regular basis? Again, it's a question. It seems like it makes sense, but I've never really done it. It's a strategy. And so in closing, ultimately, how will you view 2019? Yeah, you may have survived, right? I'm going in. Well, not yet. Come on, right? Exactly. Right? And I think it's this. That's the sense, is you can pick any of those strategies. There's probably multiple more strategies you can pick. Those are the ones that he highlighted for me to share this morning. Which one are you going to choose? You know? How do you want to view this year? Come on. Thanks, sister. Right? And then probably the biggest question, because I think obviously you know that our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all about relationship. And so it's not a system or a program. It's all about relationship. And so what I would encourage is, you know, really, will you take time to reflect with Jesus this week? Those lists. Or will you just move into 2020 and say, new year. I think he's hungry. He's thirsty to sit down with you. He's hopeful that you'll take time with him to look at all the good and look at all the hard. He's not afraid of anything that was hard in your life, right? He's not afraid of any response that you would have to anything that's hard in your life. Does that make sense too? He was there. He was with you. He probably knows more about it than you. Right? It's that sense. And so I guarantee you that he would love to sit down and talk with you. And so I encourage you to take time this week before 2020 hits. Everything changes, right? 2020, we're going to have clear vision, right? No. All right. Well, let's pray. So Jesus, thank you for this morning. I pray that the words that I shared this morning that are of you would sink in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, that the gold of it would reside and the chaff would just blow. And obviously, you know each person who's here and any person who's listening on the podcast, you know every detail of their year in 2019. You know every highlight and every lowlight. You know every specific situation they found themselves in. You know every choice they made. Right, you know everything that happened to them that they had no control over, that it just happened. Right, you were with them through every single one, and I praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I praise you for their promises that when you overshadow us, that we can experience a measure of your goodness, and it's different at different times. What aspect of your goodness is released? And so as we allow you to overshadow us in this process, I pray that even the process, we would experience a greater measure of your goodness that we didn't anticipate. And I pray that you would give us a grace to walk through even the hardest of things that we've gone through this past year. And for any person where something was highlighted from a previous year that we never really dealt with, that we sort of tried to avoid, I pray that this would be the day, this would be the year that we actually have the grace to go back and walk through it with you so we ultimately can be free. We can have complete victory, and on the other side, we can walk in a greater measure of abundant life that we could never have if we didn't walk through it. And so thanks for highlighting that today. We see that as an aspect of your goodness. And so obviously, Lord, I just pray blessing over each person. I pray they would encounter you more, that their relationships with you would go deeper, that they would be stronger, that they would be more vibrant, they'd become more alive, that there would be a greater hunger and thirst to spend time with you. And I pray that we would encounter a greater measure of your delight, a greater measure of your joy of wanting to spend time with us and being with us and releasing more of your kingdom to us and to those around us. And so we ask that you would seal this word and the work that you're going to do in and through it. And we give you all the glory in advance. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.